Invite you to turn with me to John chapter 14 this morning. Talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and as I studied this, I realized we could probably spend a number of weeks on this. There's so much truth that we see just in this passage about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry that he has in our lives, why he's even here. I want to just get a little bit of a glimpse of that this morning. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Lord, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to open your word together. We thank you for the time that we've had to worship you in song and in giving. And now, Father, we come to you seeking understanding from your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells within us to give us that understanding. We thank you for the fact that he enables us to do what we need to do in order to reach our full potential for you. Father, encourage our hearts this morning with what you will teach us. Help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. I pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done, and in the work that is done in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The greatest way that we can show that we love God, according to verse 15, is by keeping his commandments. It's by reading his word, by growing in our knowledge of him and applying those principles to our daily lives. It's saying, God, those things are valuable to me, and I want to use those things as I go through my daily life. God's word is full of wisdom, and if it is applied to our lives correctly, it will be a great help and a benefit to us. When Christ came to this earth, he came to give us life. And he said in John 10:10, he gave us life more abundant, a life full of his blessing, a life full of his life. He did this, first of all, by providing salvation from the penalty of our sin. But he continues to provide that abundant life by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to look at the ministry, or the gift of the Holy Spirit that he gave us. Before we do that, I want us to look first of all at the spirit of man. What is the spirit of man? The first question I want to ask is that, what is the spirit of man? The first time we read of the spirit of man is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when it says, God made Adam and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That breathing, that breath is the spirit. God gave man a spirit. He gave him life. He gave him that power to live. But Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And so that's a man's life. God gives life, and the final man, God ends a life, and God, the Spirit returns back to God. And as I read different passages in the Bible, I came to the conclusion that the Spirit of man is the powerhouse of man's life. Just as a car has a battery to provide power so it can function, so the Spirit of man provides power for man to function. When God made man, he gave man life. He provided him the power to live by giving him a spirit. Let me share some verses with you. Genesis chapter 45, 27. I believe these passages help us to understand how our spirit is our power within us. Genesis 45, 27. Joseph's brothers are before Joseph. And they go to Joseph, find out he's alive, then they go back to Jacob. And they come to Jacob, they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. You say, why is it dead? Let me read for you Genesis chapter 37, verses 31 to 35. What happened to Jacob's spirit? Genesis 37, verse 31 says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, for he said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. What happened to Jacob's spirit? It was broken. He had lost his son that was precious to him. And so his spirit was broken. That power to live, he said, I don't even want to live anymore. His spirit was broken. Those of you who have lost loved ones, you know what that's like. Your spirit is wounded. Your spirit is broken. And just like sometimes you just don't want to even go on living because you don't know how you're going to function without that loss. The Yoders are probably going through feelings like that. That, Lord, help us to have strength to go on because we just don't know sometimes. Thankfully, over time and with the Lord's help, that spirit of that person can be revitalized, can be revived to go on and to live for the Lord, to do what they need to do. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? You ever see somebody who has who just has that lively spirit? They like they can do anything. But on the other hand, you see a person who's just been wounded, that spirit's been broken, and they think like the wind has gone out of their sails, and they just can't do it. A person with a healthy spirit can go on in spite of physical, emotional, or mental challenges, but a person with a wounded spirit will struggle. Even among the little things, they'll struggle. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. A man with an out-of-control spirit is like a runaway freight train, and the only thing that's going to bring is destruction. The spirit is the powerhouse of a man. So we see that's the spirit of man. But what happened to man's spirit? Why is man's spirit like that? When God created man, he was given all the power necessary to live up to the potential that God had designed for him. He had God's power within him. When Adam was created, God gave him life, but I believe God gave him all the power he needed, that divine help that he needed to live exactly as God intended. And that power within Adam was sufficient. God's power was sufficient for him to say no to the temptation of the serpent. And he had that power within him, God's power to say, he could say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, within his own spirit, he couldn't do that. But with God's power in him, he could say no. But he rejected that power. He relied on his own spirit. And that divine power that was in him was then cut off. Because basically Adam and Eve said, I want to do it my own way. Genesis 3:17-19. Look at the result of that. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till I return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Most of us have worked gardens before. And gardens, working a garden, tilling it up, and weeding it, and maintaining it, and watering it, isn't just affect our physical being. It affects our spirit. How many of you have been out in the garden with a hoe for an hour or two, and you're sitting there hacking at those weeds and says, these stupid weeds? Why do I have to keep putting up with them? Why can't I just get rid of them? And we spray stuff on them, and they come back like lively. It affects our spirit. What happened to Adam? What did God intend for Adam to be? To take care of creation, to take care of all that God had made in the garden. Adam was a gardener. He was a groundskeeper with God's help. And then God says, Adam, in sorrow, you will eat of the ground. He said, oh, cursed is the ground. He said, thorns and thistles will bring forth. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Adam's spirit was crushed. He says, how can you deal with that? Now he would have to live life in the power of his own spirit because God's spirit had been cut off. That divine help had been cut off from him. And with a soul that was condemned to eternal separation from God and a body that would eventually return to the dust, it didn't leave him with much to look forward to. That same crushed or damaged spirit is something that we are all born with because we are descendants of Adam. And we aren't born with God's Holy Spirit in our lives because that was lost with sin. We hear phrases like, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps or follow your heart or do it my way. What is that? It's man trying to determine the direction of his life in his own power, trying to shore up or strengthen his own spirit, only to find that the power he's relying on within himself is not sufficient. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, Solomon says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. It's something we struggle with all the time. If we rely on our own spirit, we're going to fail every time. We have to rely on God's spirit. But here's Solomon in Ecclesiastes, and he could have had and done anything he ever wanted to do. And he still found that he did not have power over his own spirit and his own strength. You see, he tried. He tried to have all the women he wanted, and it was his downfall. He tried to have all the wealth that he wanted, and it was his downfall. He was relying in his own. At the beginning, he relied on God's Spirit. But as time went on, as God began to bless him, he began to focus on his riches. He began to focus on women. He began to focus on the other things around him, and he got his focus off of God, and he rejected God's help. He failed. 1 Chronicles 28:9, David says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Why did David charge Solomon like that? Why did David say, Solomon, follow God? David, Solomon, obey God. Solomon, do what God wants you to do. Because David knew in his own heart, by his own experience, that when he followed his own spirit, he would fail. And he had to come back to God, how? With a broken and a contrite spirit. Psalm 51. There's also the danger for man to open up his spirit to other harmful spirits. And you look at 1 Samuel 28:7, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. This is a woman who is dealing with demonic activity. And Saul opens himself up to those things. Hosea 4:12, My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. People give themselves over to the spirit of whoredoms. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, It came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. If you look back at Luke chapter 9, verse 437, Luke 9:37 to 42, it came to pass when on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Look at verses 51 to 56. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. The spirit that the disciples had here was not manifesting the Spirit of God. These evil spirits that are mentioned in these passages didn't come to these people by accident. They weren't something that all of a sudden they had these evil spirits. These were something that they allowed themselves to be influenced by these evil spirits. They accepted the influences of these spirits and then it overcame them. They just began to fill their minds with these evil influences until these evil spirits began to consume them. And that's why we have to be so careful as believers not to expose ourselves to the evil spirits of this world system. Now, those spirits can't possess us as believers, but they can definitely influence us away from our walk with God. You see athletes and musicians and actors and celebrities who are living their lives according to their own ways and trying to figure out things on their own design, their own spirit, and some of them have given themselves over to these familiar spirits, these evil spirits. The only thing they're going to get out of that is emptiness and destruction and death. So as we consider the spirit of man that is in him, and the susceptibility to other spirits, it helps us to understand why Jesus, when he was preparing to return to heaven, why he says here in John chapter 14, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He says, I'm not going to leave you without my spirit. I will come to you. And the third thing I want us to look at this morning is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The first thing here is, who can receive the Holy Spirit? Who can have the Holy Spirit? The Bible clearly tells us that in verse 17. He says, Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Only those who have received Christ as their Savior, who have been reconciled to God, can receive the Holy Spirit. Because God promises us, when we trust him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. Remember what we said about in the beginning, that God created man with the Spirit of God in him. God created man with that power within him to do what he needed to do, to obey God. But sin caused that Spirit to be removed, and man still had a spirit. Man still had breath, but it was limited, and it was crushed by the consequences of sin. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we receive the Spirit of God. Let me share some verses with you about that. Romans 8:15. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. 1 John 3:23 and 24 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So when a person receives the Holy Spirit, they not only receive the security or the down payment of their salvation, but they also receive the divine power to live their lives according to God's original design. And that's why Jesus says in verse 17 that the world cannot receive him. They don't know him. He doesn't dwell in them. They haven't received Christ as their Savior. But we as believers can because we know him. So that is who can receive the Holy Spirit. Secondly, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? First thing is he indwells believers. We see that in verse 17. He says he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. And when he says, my Father and I will come, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is going to come and dwell within us when we trust Christ as our Savior. We have all the parts of the Godhead available to us. We have access to God. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts as a permanent resident, which is another indication of our security, of our salvation. We are secure in Christ because the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And another reason, another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he comes to comfort us. Verse 16, and Jesus says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You see, this was a time where Jesus was leaving them, and they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. But now he was leaving them. But he said, I'm going to send another comforter, one just like me, one of the same spirit that I have, that he may come and comfort you. You see, we live in a hostile world that's hostile to God, and consider what the disciples had found in Christ. They were beginning to realize he was the answer to all their needs, spiritual and physical. He had the answers to their hard questions and their struggles in their own hearts. Now he was talking about leaving them. But he promised that he would send another comforter, a Holy Spirit just like him, not only be with them, but would dwell in them. Not just walking alongside, but in their heart, to help them, to convict them, to guide them, to teach them. What a comfort to know the certainty of the presence of God with us. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have the certainty of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to comfort us. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a comfort to know that, to have that peace. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does is he comes to teach us. In verse 26, he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How does he teach us? He teaches us from the Word of God. When we read God's Word in the morning or during the day and we're able to understand how it applies to our lives, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit working. That's the Holy Spirit giving us that understanding. That's the Holy Spirit showing us that truth. It's not what we get in our own minds, our own thinking, our own ability. It's the Holy Spirit giving us that understanding. And so that's why even when I get up here and preach, I don't fret that, oh, they're not going to understand it, Lord. Lord, they're not going to get it if I don't say just the right words. Because some days I don't say the right words. Sometimes I get confused in what I say, but I trust in the fact that it's the Holy Spirit within you that's going to help you to take God's word, and it's going to help you to understand the truth that you receive. Turn with me to John chapter 16. Look at verse 7 through 15. John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me, or necessary for me, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." See, here the Holy Spirit comes to teach us. He comes to reprove the world. He comes, as we see in Paul's epistles, he comes to restrain. Do we realize what the world would be like today if the Holy Spirit wasn't here restraining people from sin? I mean, we think it's bad now. But after the rapture, when the Holy Spirit is gone as well, that talk about great tribulation. Yes, it will be. And part of that great tribulation is because the Holy Spirit is not here restraining sin. But he's also here to teach us, to help us to understand the things he says. He's going to help us to understand the things that Christ taught. He's going to take these things and he's going to help us to know them, to understand how they apply to our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. It says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." I'm in 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. You're probably all looking at me like, what? I didn't think that sounded right. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Holy Spirit came to teach us. See, we can't discern those things in our own spirit, in our own reasoning. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand because we've trusted him as our Savior, because he indwells us. But the fourth thing that the Holy Spirit does, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to give peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Consider the fact that God has saved us from the penalty of sin. He has restored us to a relationship with him, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us in order that we might have the abundant life that God originally intended for us. That gives us peace. When we realize those truths, when we realize all those things, and we realize we have His Holy Spirit within us, that gives us peace. And the peace isn't that God gives isn't like the what the world claims to give. The world says man can have peace if he has pleasure, popularity, if he has possessions. The world tries to bring peace through flattery, through empty words, and they think their philosophies and their false religions will bring peace, but none of them ever bring peace. They may bring some kind of satisfaction for a time, but they never bring true peace. The peace that the Holy Spirit gives us is that peace that God mentions in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will strengthen our spirit. That's the peace that we have, is that peace that strengthens our spirit. And even this morning, as you think about the Yoder family, and they may have a lot of questions of all the events that have happened, but the peace that they can have and the peace that they have is because they know God is in control of the situation. They have the peace of God, and they know, God, I can turn this over to you. God, I can let you deal with this. God, I can help you, let you reveal the truth to me that I need to know. You may be here today and you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit because you've not received Christ as your personal Savior. See, John 14:23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. And you haven't received the Holy Spirit because you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. It's not difficult. As we said a few weeks ago, God doesn't make being restored to Him in a relationship difficult. It's our pride that makes it difficult. But we have to come God's way through Jesus Christ. As believers, we can have confidence, we can have peace, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us permanently. He's not going to leave us. You know, back in the Old Testament, God brought His Spirit upon people to do the work they needed to do, and then the Spirit was taken. Now we have the Holy Spirit permanently in our hearts as a security, as a down payment, as an earnest of our inheritance that one day we will receive. We've had storms this past week. Many of you can remember when you were, as parents, or maybe even when you were little, you heard parents would say, you know, who's in charge of the storm? And you'd encourage your children, don't be afraid of the storm. God's watching over us. As we get older, our children get older, we still have storms. Sometimes they're not precipitation. Sometimes they're not in the skies. Sometimes they're here. Sometimes they're in our bodies. Sometimes they're up here in our minds. We can take that same counsel and we can apply it to our lives when we are going through a storm and say, God in the person of the Holy Spirit is with us. He's watching over us. He's helping us. He's meeting our needs because He dwells within us. He's teaching us. He's comforting us. And He gives us peace. Let's pray. Father, this is another aspect of our lives that we don't deserve. But it's a great demonstration of Your love for us and of Your desire to have fellowship with us and of Your desire for us to walk with You in abundance. Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You have given the Holy Spirit to us to teach us, to convict us, to direct us on the right path, to help us to walk in more harmony with You. Father, we thank You that He is there forever if we'll trust You as our Savior. Thank You for the confidence that we have in that. Father, we pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know You as Savior, Father, I pray that their spirit would be troubled and that they would turn to You, that You would draw them to Yourself, and that they would see only with Your help, only with Your salvation, only with Your Holy Spirit will they have true peace. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified through the work that is done in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.